says his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around.
Isle's House, episode one, the latest and greatest Islanders podcasts. We're here and we're ready to take over. I'm one of your hosts, Ethan at EthanGSN on Twitter. We're here with Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy, Jack at Isle's Den, and super producer Greeny. Fellas, what's going on?
What's going on, boys?
How are you doing, boys?
What's going on, everyone?
The latest and the greatest. That's what we are. We're the new kids on the block with a veteran presence. I'm back from the Obstructed Views days. I got some great co-hosts. We got a super producer, probably the laziest yet most talented fella in the business. And we're here to talk Islanders. We're here to break some news. We're here to talk about the team. You're probably familiar with us from Twitter spaces, but now hopefully a more condensed, free-flowing conversation between the three, sometimes four of us, on the latest Islanders happenings.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the first episode of Isle's House. We're ready to kick it off here tonight. We'll dive into some signings, our offseason, and everything. Rocco, by the way, Jack,
I'm cutting you off. Shout out to Chamath in Sri Lanka for the banger intro that we got for $10 on Fiverr.com.
Absolutely.
Shout out Sri Lanka. I love it. Sri Lankan presence on the island.
That was money well spent.
I almost want to send him more, to be honest.
Well, he's going to be a repeat contractor for us. I have a feeling. The instrumentals and the vocals were absolutely incredible. All right, so let's get into the New York Islanders. The biggest news that I think we should start with, Ilya Sorokin. Off-season back surgery, and I got scooped by Lou. That's the news. Announced, very rare press conference from Lou, delving into the specifics that he typically does not want out there. Nevertheless, star goaltender off a bad year, now has back surgery in the offseason. He's getting paid, what, $8.5 million a year, and he's 29 years old. So a lot of negatives, and I know that there are certain portions of the fan base that are bearish on Ilya Sorokin going into the season. Pass it around and talk about Sorokin a bit. Jack, why don't you go first?
Definitely have my concerns about Sorokin. You know, just the variance within the goaltending position. Now we got a back surgery over the offseason that was meant to be in secrecy. With Varlamov playing so well, I just feel like the pressure's on a little bit. And yeah, it's going to be a big year for Sorokin, and we'll see what he's made of.
Yeah, you know, I'm probably the biggest fan of Sorokin out of the three of us, I would say. And honestly,
that's for sure.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. And as far
Greeny's
as
shaking his head, no.
Me and Greeny. Greeny and I are on the pro-Sorokin side. And not that you guys are anti-Sorokin, but you're a little lower on Sorokin. You're a little more.
I think that's
I'm worried
fair.
About this. I'm worried about that. And I'll be honest, I'm always optimistic in regards to him. And I stayed that way until the comments Waugh made at the golf outing. He said something to the gist of, you know, he got it right, but we don't know if it's fully right as far as the surgery. And it's something he may have to deal with long term, you know, not his exact words, but something that made me a little bit worried, because you're like, all right, you're one of eight. He had a back surgery confirmed. And we're saying, you know, maybe it's something we're going to have to keep an eye on. It's not a complete clean slate post surgery. So as much as I'm excited to see him attempt to bounce back, I am worried about the long-term outlook and how the deal works out. Essentially, it could get ugly. We always hope for the best.
Yeah,
but
agree with you. I'll make an analogy here that I think many would disagree with, and is probably a little bit extreme, but I'm going to do it anyway, because I think if you just look at it in a vacuum, it could be a little bit comparable. We're seeing some of the worst offense to start an NFL season that we've ever seen. I think through week two, we're seeing half the number of touchdowns that we saw through week two of last season. Now, Ilya Sorokin coming off a just bad, like we, I don't want to say horrendous, but like close to horrendous season by his standards.
By his standards, yes.
Right. Now you throw a surgery into the mix, and I'm a believer that, especially with the NFL, when you don't have players playing in the preseason, there's a lot of rust thrown into the mix. And with the goaltending position too, and I think a lot of goalies would agree with this, and we've seen, I think it was Jack who just said, it's a very, there's a lot of variance in the position. Like the highs are high and the lows are even lower. And Sorokin is coming off of probably the lowest low of his career, had surgery. Now, I don't even think he's skating yet. And allegedly, he's supposed to be ready for week one. It's like, you know, Bryce Young coming off of a horrendous rookie season, and then they don't play him except for like one series against the third stringers, and they throw him right back into the fire, and he's still bad. You know, like, it's just another variable that we have to worry about that I'd rather not worry about, considering some of the regressions we've seen on the defensive side and even the offensive side of the Islanders. You know, Brock Nelson finished the year poorly. What's he going to do? Like, it's just stuff that you don't want to worry about, especially, like, I think we all here agree that Patrick Waugh is a phenomenal coach. We're all excited to see the team after a full camp with Patrick Waugh. It's like, I don't want to worry about this. Like,
that's why I find it really unfortunate, the timing of this, because you'd think his life was going to be a lot easier in a Patrick Waugh system.
100%.
The defense was going to be improved. This team will have more structure. And given the fact it's supposed to be easier and this gets thrown into it, I really hope they don't throw him into the fire. Even before this injury, I was kind of looking more towards a split in net, just because we have 8 years of Sorokin to look forward to. I don't think it's worth risking injury. I mean, we've seen that before, hence the Rick DiPietro article that came out just yesterday. Right. So if I was Ilya and the Islanders training staff, I'd probably take that advice and just very slow with this recovery.
Yeah. And
we have the depth. We have Varlamov. We have Hogberg if needed too. We signed him this offseason. So yeah, I'm not feeling too good about this surgery, to be honest with you.
Wait, I want to ask you guys something about this. Sorry to jump in, but I've been thinking about this since it got announced. Do you guys think that there was any chance that he got hurt during the season last year, or do you think that he was injured during some sort of offseason training?
I love that
they confirmed offseason training.
I love that you're teeing that up. Yeah. Well, he's asking if we think that it's true, and it is true. It is an offseason injury that he suffered during
That's what they tell us. That's what they tell us. Allegedly, it's an offseason injury.
That's what I'm telling you. That's what the People's Insider is telling you.
But if we quickly want to just dive a tiny bit deeper into this, there was a little bit of breadcrumbs, if you really want to go back and look, because as we remember, when, what was it, Fanatics Fest they had in the city or whatever?
Yeah.
Suddenly last second, Sorokin's out. Right. And at first, quite honestly, I thought it was like, maybe a Lou thing. Like, he doesn't want it being about one guy. He wants it being about the team. That was quite honestly my first thought. It's just about, he doesn't want one guy showing up there and the rest of the guys aren't contributing to it or whatever else. And then as like the rumors started flowing out and whatever else, now you're starting to think like, that him dropping out of Fanatics Fest last second suddenly makes a lot of sense.
There were some crazy PR rumors about him. I mean, we're not going to get deep into it. There were people saying that he was like in the player assistance program. Not true.
I got a DM about that as well.
Yeah. Greeny. So along the lines of the question that Greeny asked us, I think the more apropos question would be not whether or not the team is telling the truth about the time frame of the incident, you know, whether it be last season and that's the reason for his down performance, or whether it happened in the offseason. It happened in the offseason, but my question would be whether or not they're telling the truth about he'll be fine and he's ready to start the season. Because that I find hard to believe, if he's not even skating yet, that a guy off a down year, like with the snap of a finger, he's just going to throw the pads on and he's going to be good to go. I don't see it.
Well, camp does start tomorrow, correct? I mean, today was like the weigh-in day, the physicals and all that. And I believe camp officially starts tomorrow. So I think we'll get a lot of those questions answered, but I agree. It's hard not to worry. This is our franchise guy. They invested a lot of years and money in him. And it's, you know, I was thinking best case, worst case scenarios when I found out about it. And I'm like, best case, you just hope it's like a little footnote that we forget about. And we go and we're at game 75 and someone mentioned it and you're like, I forgot that even happened. Right. Worst case is it's a lingering thing that we're always maybe going to have to deal with him. And that's why Waz's comment scared me so much. Like, oh,
they, it also scares me that the last time we saw him, Sorokin looked like a player that completely lost his confidence. I mean, not to rip him too hard, but he was crying on the bench in the middle of a playoff game.
In the tunnel. He wasn't on the bench. Behind the bench.
It's even worse.
He lasted 30 minutes in one playoff game. He got a few starts at the end of the year against some really bad teams. He finished against the Penguins. He gave up, I think, 4 goals that night. I think camp was huge for him to like rebuild his confidence, and going in cold off an injury now and just getting thrown into the fire, that might not be good for his confidence right away. And that's something we have to worry about with someone making $8.5 million a year.
Yeah.
But that's where, you know, like you said before, you have Varley, what DiPietro said, make sure he's 100%. Do not rush him. It's not worth in year 1 of 8, making sure he's ready for game 5, game 6. It's making sure he's ready for the stretch run. It's making sure he's ready to go and back to 100% and playing up to his potential that we all know is high, but kind of dropped off last season. And I completely agree with Jack's point. Camp was so huge for him. Get that confidence back, get your mojo back. And it's, you know, like I said, let's hope.
I mean, do we even see him in the preseason at all?
I think if we see him in the preseason, it's like the later game. I always find it kind of odd with hockey camps because they start tomorrow, which is the 19th, and the first game is the 22nd. That's like a very quick turnaround. I know they're all training and they're skating.
It's for the kids.
So you just let some of the kids play, and then that's a game where you probably see like Hoberg and maybe Varley gets a little bit or whatever, but it's a quick turnaround. So I think if we do see Sorokin, it'd probably be the tune-up games just before the season, if any.
For the record, he definitely was not injured last season. I mean, this PR team and the Islanders would have looked for any excuse for his play last year. So if he was injured, they would have LTIR'd him in a second.
Well, I think they just would have announced it after the season to save face, even more so than LTIR.
I think we're overthinking that a little bit. If he was hurt, Waz not starting him in a playoff
game. Another very good point. And what game was that? Game 3.
Yeah. So it is what it is. We hope that he bounces back. On to other offseason news. Before we get into the actual signings, should we talk about the trades that never happened?
May as well.
Nikolai Ehlers, still a Winnipeg Jet. So we could talk about that for a few minutes. Based on what I heard, he was the target. Like the Islanders checked in on him a number of times. And again, what it always, or not always, but most of the time comes back to with the Islanders is, what are you going to offer for a guy like that? You know, you don't have a particularly deep farm system. We don't even know if any of the kids we're about to discuss are going to make the team, are NHL players. We got our first taste of that with Ruslan Isakov signing back in the KHL and a few other question marks. But my understanding of the situation is that they were fairly locked in on Ehlers and that just never materialized. I think, let me do my best Elliot Friedman impression. Someone asked me what I heard about Ehlers.
Hey, Ethan, what'd you hear about Nick Ehlers?
Oh, you know, Jeff, what I was hearing about Ehlers is they wanted a young defenseman, which
really?
the Islanders just don't have. So
give him Bull Duke.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Not one that
like
makes
I
sense
said,
and is fair.
Yeah, something that we don't have. So,
and back to the cottage.
Right. Back to the cottage. They again just don't have a package. Maybe a part of the motivation for using all their draft picks this year, just build the farm back up, because if you are a contender and some of these guys start to really gel together and play well, you got some trade chips to go all in, because we do acknowledge that this is a win now roster. But yeah, the Ehlers trade just never materialized, but he was their guy.
But the other side of the Ehlers thing is he never moved at all. So although they couldn't make it work in the offseason, let's say the Islanders are still in the mix come the deadline, which I think we'll get to that later on. But I think we'd all agree they are going to be at least in the mix, similar to how they were when they made the Horvat deal. They'll either probably be on the wild card, bottom two seeds, or just look outside looking in, trying to make a move. So, you know, if things come to fruition and they play pretty well and maybe the Jets take a step back, he could be available at the deadline amongst other players.
Yeah,
we all
mean,
know.
Again, like you're, I come at it from a biased perspective, but my perspective is unless that there is a contract extension imminent going into the season, it's a guy that you move. He's got an injury history. I want to say, like, how many years has he been in the NHL? 7 or 8? Like,
yeah, he's a Dell Cole draft.
Greeny, here's your first fact check. Like, I think based on like looking up at his stats when these rumors were flying around, I think he's played like 8 seasons, and of those 8, he's only played 82 games 3 times. You know, he's a guy with, and is that right? You're not.
That was actually correct. So he's played 9 years. He's played 82 okay. games 3 times.
There we go.
How many last year, Greeny?
Last year was 82. That was his third season playing.
That was a big thing.
So again, exactly. So to me, it seems like a missed opportunity for the Jets. I don't think you're going to get nearly as much for him at the deadline as you would have pre-draft or at the draft. Because again, a guy who's only played 82 games 3 times in his 9-year career, you're going to risk him getting injured. Maybe he's got a down year. You're not going to recoup if he doesn't want to sign there. And it just reeks of desperation from Winnipeg. Like, you know, they're having Islanders Nassau Coliseum issues with being located in Winnipeg and drawing players there and free agents. Like, a guy who's homegrown, you want to re-sign, especially a guy as good as him. So, you know, from my perspective, it doesn't make sense, but I also come at it from a biased point of view of, why don't you fucking trade me Nikolaj Ehlers already?
But what do you think was a fair trade? And this for anyone, what do you think would be a fair trade? What do you think they were asking that Winnipeg?
No idea. I mean, I would have given up a first plus in a second. There was an extension to be had.
I think part of the issue in getting this deal done as well is both teams are in the same mode, right? And when both teams are in the same mode, it's a little harder to make a deal. Like, if Winnipeg was going full rebuild, they'd be like, we'll take a pick, we'll take a prospect, this and that. Like you just said, Winnipeg's having issues. If you're having stadium issues and ticket sale issues, and then you sell off your team and are like a lottery team that's picking top 5, what does
that
say to your
fan base?
Get ready to
learn Atlanta Thrashers, buddy.
Exactly. So I think they were coming at it more of looking for a partner that would maybe trade them a 1-for-1 deal versus a pick and a prospect, which to their defense does make sense on their end. They just re-signed Scheifele. They just re-signed Hellebuck. Honestly, I think they're going to try to do the same thing with Ehlers, where they approach him again right before the season begins, offer him a bag, and say, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Because it worked with the other two guys, so maybe it'll work with Ehlers. From everything we've all heard, it seems like Ehlers doesn't really want to extend there. But again, money talks. If you get 8 years guaranteed before the season begins, this is an injury-prone guy, maybe he wants to take it and play it safe. There's a lot of ways this could go. And, you know, we hope it lands with the Islanders, but chances are it won't, because there's so many other teams that will be offering and ready when the time comes to go all in. Probably even more so than the Islanders. You know, there'll be a lot of contenders out there come the deadline, if he's available, ready to offer basically whatever it takes.
And it should be noted real quick, Jack, that I was just looking at the Winnipeg cap situation. They have about $6 million in cap space. So they do have the money to re-sign him. I think it's more of, does he want to stay there? Are they going to meet his number? Just something to keep in mind.
I think he's going to get traded eventually. The situation just seems very fluent. I don't have much on it. I don't know what our package would look like trading for him. I don't even know who it starts with. Like, maybe, like, who's our best young prospect that we could even throw in there? How much draft capital are we really willing to give up? I think it's really risky. When you think about the way our defense is built right now, how we're locked in with a lot of these veterans who struggled last year. So depending on where to invest in the Islanders, like, I could see it being really risky. And really, like, my biggest thought about it is just how absurd the NHL is in the trade market. I mean, Natchez, Ehlers, Kapo, I mean, these were three guys that were definitely on the move, and it's just ridiculous how these guys end up staying for so long. Even Tarasenko a few years ago. I feel like you just don't see that in other leagues.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is Isles House, not Winnipeg House. Let's move on to guys who are actually New York Islanders. So off-season signings. Let's tackle the two big ones to start. Maxim Tsiplakov. Am I doing that right?
Tsiplakov.
I think so.
Tsipulkov.
Brendan will have to teach us that one on opening night.
He will. Certainly not Butch.
He'll have us by the preseason. We know Brendan.
Yeah. It was a two-way deal?
It was a two-way deal.
Interesting.
I think entry level, does it have to be?
Yeah, so Phil actually helped me with that one. At Phil's Facts on Twitter. Shout out to him.
Phil.
I mean, if you tried to send him to Bridgeport, I think he'd be on the first plane back to Russia, so it's really a one-way.
Yeah, it's I think technically.
It's cap gymnastics. I just
No, I know. I'm just saying it's not like – I think people sometimes look at that like, oh, well, you could send him to Bridgeport. It's like he didn't come here versus –
It's not happening.
They did this with Sorokin as well, and Sorokin is never sniffing Bridgeport.
No. Yeah, so exactly. they're gonna make a paper transaction at the end of camp, sending him down to Bridgeport. And if you're listening, you won't have a heart attack during that moment. But if you're not, then you're gonna go through the swing of emotions that is.
And
not
that's
real.
Why you listen to Isles House. Two way, 1 year, $950K AAV, the most sought after international player. I believe the list of suitors was half the league, and he chose the New York Islanders. Very exciting. I don't know where they plan to start him to start the season. Me personally, I'd love to see him on line two. He may be on line three. We'll have to see. The reports out of camp have been pretty good so far. Underrated skater, big body, good shot. Pretty much exactly what we saw from the KHL highlights before coming over. Yeah, these are the type of moves that I love. Low risk, incredibly high reward if he pans out. The fact that he chose the Islanders over half the league says a lot, both about the Islanders recruiting as well as how they plan to deploy him. It's not a guy who's going to leave Russia at the age of 25 to come to the United States, the NHL, to play fourth line minutes or get sent down to Bridgeport. He's going to be a staple in the middle six, and I'm excited to see what he's got.
You just really got to hope that he's a perfect fit on line two. Because in the playoffs, with like Lee, Engvall, Pageau, they were so good in their role against like one of the best defensive teams in the league. So if he fits in on that second line, and with Duclair hopefully fitting in on the first line, we're looking at a completely different team. So he's going
to
be a
also
big
add, Jack, to further your point about fitting in on line two. Obviously, you're going to need to shuffle some guys around, but Brock Nelson in the last year of his contract, no extension in sight. Nothing done from what I've heard. And it was honestly refreshing to hear Lou say, you know, we'll handle that when it needs to be handled and not jump the gun and sign a guy on the wrong side of 30 to an extension when you are uncertain about what the team is going to be and what the future holds. Because again, this team, much like the goalie position, the variance in the range of outcomes is large. You know, I don't think anyone would be surprised to see them, you know, come in third in the Metro. With a couple of expected regressions from some of the other teams. And I don't think it would surprise anyone to see this team just miss the playoffs entirely based on how the last two seasons have gone. Again, a lot of variables, Sorokin injury, Patrick Waugh, a bunch of new faces, but you know, for a guy like him on a one-year deal, like he very well could get an extension middle of the season, after the season, depending on his production. And, you know, we sort of know at some point, like, okay, like this guy is the future of the middle six.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, as you said, there's so many variables to this season. But the funny part, too, is I think that's combined with probably the weakest Metro we've seen in a while. Like, I look at the Metro division right now, and I could be wrong, but I'm kind of high on the Devils. I liked a lot of their moves. You see the Devils, you see the Rangers. I think Carolina got worse. I think the Flyers kind of played above their head last year. I don't know if they'll be as good. Who got worse?
I think the Rangers got worse.
I think the Rangers got worse, but I'd still put Rangers one or two in the Metro. They're a playoff team. They are. Let's just call it what it is. And then like the other, it's just like a bunch of weird teams. Like the Caps made a bunch of moves. Some I thought were good. Some were Pierre-Luc Dubois. And then you have other team, you know, the Jackets, obviously they're going through more than just hockey right now, but that's a team that was never going to be good this season. It's just, it's kind of an,
we'll talk about like our Metro.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, these X factors could be the difference. And as far as Tsiplakov, you know, I like what I'm seeing, but it's the same thing everyone else is saying. Until it's game one of the regular season,
exactly,
none of it matters. We've seen,
nailed it.
I mean, Ethan, we've been alive for how many great preseason performances getting excited. I mean, five, 6 years ago, I was excited about Kiefer Bellows. And then that turned into nothing. So it happened so quickly. And
And not it's so just a reminder. Just because this is like a funny thing, like going through some of my dad's old sports cards, he literally had like 20 Taylor Pyatt cards. Like right. At some point we have to stop getting excited about the prospects too early and just let it play out.
Especially not the prospects that are like top five, like can't miss type guys. Like right. I feel like we get guys late first and we're like, oh, look at this. And then
everything
they're
is
flawed
and
we're surprised.
What a steal by Lou.
Well, Yzerman was a steal, but that's for later.
whether it was a steal or not for Siplikov, these are the deals that I've just been begging Lou to make over the last few exactly. years where you just take a chance on a guy. He's 25. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, we have no ties to him. And that's been the theme of this offseason that I've loved. We have Holmstrom for 1 year, 850K. We have Kyle MacLean, 3 years, 775, which is a typical deal for a fourth liner. Mike Riley, 1 year, 1 million. I mean, these deals are just really low value, high value, just like low risk. And I really like that from him.
Yep, 100%. And the final and probably the biggest offseason move, which we definitely are not going to forget, is Anthony Duclair, 4 years, 3.5 AAV, probably the most exciting signing of the offseason, projected to be playing on line one with Matt Barzal and Bo Horvat. Incredibly, incredibly excited to see what he can do. He's a goal scorer. He's fast. He's physical. And at that AAV, again, the free agent market, unless you were in La La Land or delusional and thought that maybe a guy like Steven Stamkos was coming here, this signing was maybe my favorite, I think, that Lou has made.
This was a great signing by Lou.
Yes.
This was a little bit of money ball here by Lou Lamoriello. We have a player here that's played on several teams. And many of you look at that as a red flag. I'm going to take you through these teams. The Rangers, he played 18 games. Then he went to the Coyotes, disaster organization. Then he went to Chicago. That's a disaster. Then he went to Columbus, another disaster. Then he was in Ottawa for a few years. And then he got traded to
disaster.
The Panthers.
Is Ottawa not a disaster? I feel like you skipped one.
I'll skip the disaster part. They're just bad. After that, he goes to the Panthers, has a few good years, and they're so up against the salary cap. He was a casualty. It happens. Then he goes to San Jose. I'll skip disaster.
Disaster.
That's a complete disaster.
It's an unmitigated disaster.
It's a disaster. Then he goes to Tampa, and you know he has a good end of the season, but another team that is just doesn't have the money to sign him. And we have a player here that's undervalued in the market, and I think that Lou really hit a home run on this one. He's going to give us some speed, and it could possibly be like the perfect compliment on the first line. So I absolutely love this move.
And you're forgetting the connection with Patrick Waugh from the junior days in the QMJHL.
Yes, sir.
Not only the connection with him, but also he's played with Peugeot. And actually, true. I didn't know. I forget who tweeted it. I would love to give credit. I'll try to find it later on. But I think he's known Horvat since he was like 17. I saw a tweet about that. I forget how, if it's juniors, if it's, you know, the national team or whatever the reason is, but they're boys too. So there's definitely a lot of connections on the team. And the main thing is just filling that hole. I mean, we had points last year where we see Casey Cizikas on the first line. Yeah. We love Casey Cizikas as a fourth liner. A first liner can't happen. You get the idea for a couple games, if guys are hurt, whatever, but that experiment ran its course. And it's not Cizikas's fault. It's just the role that's above his head. Duclair slides in there. He's got speed. He's got skill. He's got everything we've been begging for basically since Jordan Eberle walked out the door. So I like the move a lot. I think it was one of the best deals of free
agency. I'm more excited for him than Eberle.
No, I am. I was excited for Eberle. I was also excited to get rid of Strome at that time.
I was excited for Eberle. I'm just saying, like, from a ceiling perspective, I think the ceiling is much higher.
Do you? I think it's about the same as like
he brings the physicality Eberle couldn't, and I think he's faster, and like I don't know, like Eberle was an okay goal scorer. I just don't know. I give Duclair, maybe it's recency bias, but I give Duclair the edge in a lot of categories.
I think you're also downplaying the chemistry of Barzal and Eberle. They did have good chemistry and they were good together.
Of course.
And it was Lee there too. It wasn't Horvat, if you remember. So
yep.
Advantage to this line in that they have Horvat that's better than both those other players other than Barzal. But the bottom line is they just filled a hole that they needed to fill. We've been asking for this forever. And you know what? A lot of people were trying to dunk on it. Oh, Duclair this, Duclair that. He had a career year. He's not that good, this and that. Guess what? Best deal of the offseason. You can make fun of Lou all you want. And some of it I get, some of it I don't. But I think that's one of the best deals he's made as GM thus far.
And by the way, Rocco, you were mentioning the chemistry with Bo Horvat. So Anthony Duclair was actually roommates with Bo Horvat when they were 17 playing for Team Canada.
Wow. There we go.
They have some. It? Actually, I don't know because I'm looking at a New York Post article from Ethan Sears.
Shout out Ethan Sears.
And it was the Gretzky Cup at the U-17s for Team Canada. So a little bit of history between those
there
two.
There we go.
Nice. All right. So is that it for the offseason moves?
I do have one more question for you guys since I'm just teeing it up. The Matt Martin, Cal Clutterbuck situation.
Yeah.
So like Cal Clutterbuck is done.
Cal's done.
Matt Martin is supposedly coming on a PTO. I don't know if that's out there or not already.
It is out there, and I could tell you guys what I've heard, and it's nothing that anyone needs to be too alarmed by. No one's surprised. Matt Martin is the anti-Parise. For him, it really is New York or nowhere. Or should I say Parise? It's New York or nowhere for Matt Martin. If he's going to play, it's going to be with the Islanders. From what I've heard, there is no room for him. Okay. The PTO is a PTO. It's exactly that. I've heard there's no room for him. My guess is that it's just for him to stay sharp, him to be there and sort of, you know, mentor the guys and provide the good vibes. And if there is an injury and they need someone, then they may bring him in. But for now, I would say it's nothing people need to worry about. We're turning over the fourth line with the exception of Cizikas. But again, nothing to freak out about.
Okay, so real quick before we move on, I want all three of your opinions. Do we see Matt Martin play a game for the Islanders this year, yes or no?
I hope not.
Just one?
Minimum one, at least one. Does he suit up?
I'm going to go yes, and I'd probably max it out around five. I just think he's going to be one of those guys, as Ethan said, New York or nowhere. He's going to be lingering around. Even if he doesn't make the team, he'll be one of those guys that's kind of just a free agent slowly into the season. And then, you know, a couple injuries pop up. If it's Fasching, another guy towards the bottom of the lineup, a Holmstrom, basically the role he plays. If that opportunity pops back up, I think Martin will be the first guy they call because it just makes sense. You know, maybe they need a guy in the lineup to fight. The other team has an enforcer and they want to dress some things like that. So I don't think it will be a ton. Like, I don't think he's going to reach 1,000 games.
He's a washed fighter, though.
He is, but it's just like we know what fighting is in the NHL now, right? Like, it's not as much fighting as it is like a presence for the most part. Like, fighting's down every single year, I feel like.
Yeah.
So it's more of just having that guy that you know can go if needed.
My take on it is I don't think he plays a game this season, and it's because I don't think they want to disrespect him. I don't think they want to sign him and have him pop in for like 1 to 5 games or whatever that may be. I think it's either
he's not a Mickey Mouse player.
Yeah, he's not going to Mickey around. I think it's either he's a full-time role and not 82 games. Like, you know, he's in and out of the lineup 30, 50 times in that range. Remember, he's also chasing 1,000 games still. So I don't think they're going to bring him back on one of those small roles. I feel like they have too much respect for him. I don't think he would enjoy that either. So I'm going to take the under.
I mean, he's following Matt Martin around to the U.S. Open. So he just wants to be one of the guys. He wants to feel youthful, like me and Rocco podcasting with Gen Z. So I don't know. My answer is zero. I don't think he plays. But again, like it's so conditional on injuries. Like, yeah, if there's like if Fashion gets hurt and McLean gets hurt, yeah, the guy probably gets like a few games. But it's not going to be because, oh, he's good and we need him.
Greeny, what about you?
He better not play. I think he's going
to
play.
I was hoping the Sorokin squad would stay back together. We could go 2-2, but I'll stay by myself.
No, I mean, I think he's going to end up playing. And I mean, I love the guy, but like, it's time to move on.
No, and I agree
Lou,
with that.
Like, you know that Lou loves his guys. And so if there's going to be an injury and he needs a body, he's probably going to be the first person he calls. So I think we'll see him a couple of times, but I'm not like totally worried about it. I was just curious your guys' thoughts.
Yeah.
Felt like
well,
an
we'll
emotion.
have to see.
It felt like an emotional decision to give him a PTO. I'll admit
100%,
that.
100%.
It's a make-a-wish contract.
But ultimately, I don't think he plays.
Yeah, me neither.
What about Clutter? We think he plays elsewhere?
No, he's
no.
Done.
No, he's done.
Done. Yeah,
done.
I agree.
Guys held together with duct tape and staples. Like,
but a very respectable career, especially
100%,
the way he
dude. He was a great Islander.
Both of those guys, by the way, both of those guys were great Islanders.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yes, absolutely.
No, no disrespect
absolutely.
To what they've done. It's what can you do for me lately or now? And the answer is not much. So it's time
and
to move
Father,
on and give the kids a chance.
Agreed. I don't think he'll be pulling a Parisi on us.
No. Father Time's undefeated. We know it with everyone, except LeBron, apparently. But everyone else, Father Time's undefeated.
Yes. Yeah.
It'll get him.
It'll get him. All right. I think that's good for episode one. Let's wrap it up. Stay tuned. We'll be doing this weekly. We're going to have some more segments. I'm going to try to get my wife to do a WAGS report. We're going to have some news, some takes, some insights. We're going to have some guests. It's going to be, well, I can't say for certain, but I hope it's going to be a fun season. And if it's not, and it's miserable, that's also what we're here for. So
come see us at UBS, though.
Come see us at UBS. Yeah,
we'll be at
there.
UBS. We'll be there.
When I don't know, but you know, once my season tickets get divvied up, you'll find me. Find me in the Heineken Terrace. Rocco, you want to say some final words?
Yeah, just to anyone who's listening, thank you. Hoping to do this a bit longer, obviously, and hoping everything goes well. Appreciate
we're getting our feet
it.
Wet. We're generating chemistry outside of the Twitter spaces.
Exactly. We're very used to Twitter spaces, and we appreciate everyone that always listen there. So we move things over here. So thank you to all of you, and we will.
And that's
talk
not
soon.
Permanent, by the way. We will be doing Twitter spaces during.
We need
the
people. We are one of. We are men
we
of
love
the people.
Hearing from the people.
We need the people.
This is true. All right, we're gonna wrap it up. Enjoy Isles House from Sri Lanka. Follow us on Twitter. Oh, I didn't even give out a shout out to the Twitter page. Follow us, all of us, at Isles House for the latest episodes and the content. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Aisle's house, it has a crowd. There's always something.